You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves and basketball content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan reg website for written content from Adam King, as well as prior podcasts. Want to, first of all, wish everyone a happy Memorial Day. Thank you for tuning in on the holiday weekend, the extended weekend. If you guys are driving anywhere and you're throwing on the podcast, really appreciate you tuning in and ignoring the family for about 20 minutes to listen to some basketball and listen to some playoff talk. So again, really appreciate you guys tuning in, and appreciate this guy, Ben Dubose, host of the Locked On Rockets podcast, for jumping on the show despite the holiday weekend. Ben, thank you so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be on. It doesn't feel like a holiday weekend here in Houston because it's all basketball all the time. Game 7 tonight. So I'm talking Rockets no matter what. So happy to do it with you.
And we're happy to have you on the show. Number one call for when we need Rockets content, Ben Dubose, host of the Locked On Rockets podcast. Hopefully, after you're done listening to this show, you'll go check out his right away. Wanted to get to that Rockets Game 7, which is happening tonight. But first, the Game 7 for the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers was last night. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because you're playing to play now the Cleveland Cavaliers. Crazy game for LeBron James. He posted a great stat line, but I think the craziest stat he posted was that he played the entire game. He played 48 minutes last night. He was there at the first jump ball, and he was there at the final buzzer. How crazy is it that LeBron James, 15 seasons deep, is playing entire games to get to the finals?
Remarkable, because a big theme in the Rockets-Warriors series has been overextending the stars in this series. We've seen, you know, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, these guys playing 40-plus minutes, and, you know, if they go 42, we see some slippage. So to see LeBron in year 15 going a full 48 minutes, it's just remarkable. I know the Eastern Conference is not as good as the West, so maybe that helps a little bit in terms of the burden, but it's not like LeBron has that much help in regards to his teammates either. So to see him play 48 whilst in a series in which, you know, you've seen, I would think, certain signs of fatigue from some of the stars on both the Warriors and the Rockets just going, you know, low to mid-40s, it's amazing that LeBron is still doing that in year 15. Just remarkable. And as a Rockets guy, I wanted Boston to win that series because I still think no matter who wins out of Houston and Golden State, they're going to be heavy favorites, and deservedly so. We have 100 games worth of data that shows that Houston and Golden State are just much better teams. However, with Boston, there was always, in my opinion, sort of a ceiling. Without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, there were just not enough offensive creators, what little they had, guys like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. The youth was ultimately going to be exposed. I think that's kind of what happened in Game 7. Cleveland, for all of their defensive deficiencies, they have a guy in LeBron James that on any given night can get you a 40-point triple-double and be the best player on the floor. And while they're still underdogs, they at least in any given night have the potential to steal a game based on his individual brilliance. Boston, despite all of their chemistry, their defense, all those things, they didn't have that. I feel like playing Boston would be like kind of having a root canal. You would have to grind through it. It would be fun, but ultimately you would be able to come through. Whereas with Cleveland, there's just sort of that X factor in LeBron. I don't know that he can do it 4 times out of 7 against the best in the West, but can he make you sweat? Sure he can. So ultimately that's why, from a Rockets perspective, I was hoping to see Boston. Even though they were the higher seeded team, I just didn't trust them as much in a big spot, and I think last night was evidence as to why.
Absolutely. And I was watching. I actually watched this game at a bar, which was interesting. Usually, I like to watch it these kind of games at my house. I have the volume on. I have a bunch of like computers and phones out for lots of stats and really kind of lock into the game. But I wanted to watch it at the bar with some friends, get the real atmosphere, see where everybody was at, just watching the playoffs in Minnesota, kind of where everybody was cheering for in these games. And it was interesting because there's a lot of people rooting for Boston just to not have LeBron in the finals. And a lot of people after this game said it was a really bad game, and I think they're making a judgment call because it's an 87-79 game. This is a really good game. This was a really great game if you're a Cleveland fan too, because I think you saw a version of defense that you didn't see from Cleveland much in the playoffs. And if you're Cleveland and you're able to come back after starting out, because Boston has won all of these games where they start out hot in the first quarter, and Boston came out 26-18 in the first quarter and then went on to shoot 17% from three-point range. Might be the stat of the night for this Boston Celtics and how that kind of unraveled. 17% from three-point range. Scary Terry was terrifying with a 0-for-10 three-point shot percentage. He shot 0% because he didn't make any of the 10 shots he took from behind the arc. And that's after a game in Game 6 where he went 6-for-10 from three-point range. So this just wasn't meant to be, and like you're saying, really saw the youth of this team combined with just a tremendous effort from LeBron James in the 35-point, 15-rebound night where he played 48 minutes. All right, so you have the Cleveland Cavaliers from the East going to the finals. Now we have Game 7. Want to dedicate the rest of our time to Game 7, really breaking down the Western Conference matchup. First of all, who picked you up off the floor when you heard that Chris Paul was going to be out for Game 6?
Fortunately, no one had to, because you sort of suspected it after, hamstring injuries are notorious for lingering. I will say it was a weird feeling after Game 5, because it was a massive win for the Rockets, yet you also had to wonder if their best chance had slipped away in the process. So I would say it was a weird feeling, but after Game 5, none of us were surprised, because with the Rockets up 3-2, there was absolutely no reason to risk Chris Paul in a game that you were significant underdogs anyway, a game in which the Warriors were playing with more urgency and at home, so tough to win at Oracle Arena. The proof will be in the pudding tonight. I don't really expect to get a final word on Chris Paul until right before game time, the pregame media conference, less than 2 hours before is my bet when they release it. But yeah, it's a big deal, because ultimately you can say all you want about the Rockets' culture, their defense, their teamwork, all those types of things. But as we saw over 48 minutes in Game 6, if you only have one superstar-level player in James Harden and you're going against a team with four All-Stars, ultimately the lack of firepower can be a problem. So that's why if Chris Paul can get out there even for just 20 or 25 minutes, it's a big deal, because for the Rockets, I don't worry about them defensively. I worry about them offensively against a great defense in Golden State. If Chris Paul isn't out there, being able to score enough points. Now, the old adage is that role players play better at home, and we've seen that a lot through this series. The guys like Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon. So I think if you're the Rockets, that's something that you can hold out hope for. But ultimately, I think the ticket for beating the Golden State Warriors in a Game 7, it has to involve at least some Chris Paul. I would say the hope is that at least 20 to 25 minutes, but ultimately I don't think we're going to know that until right before tip-off, because these last 3 days he's been getting treatment around the clock, and they haven't really tested it to see if he can run, because before you even let him try to run, you want to give it as much natural healing time as possible. There's no reason to put any stress on that hamstring at all, even Sunday. So I think it's just going to be a situation. He gets to the Toyota Center this afternoon, and he will try and run, and for the Rockets, you hold your breath and hope for the best, because you need him. And ultimately, if there's any way that he can go, I would expect him to. Because the thing is, even if he makes it worse, even if Chris Paul is unavailable for, say, part of the NBA Finals, the Rockets would still be pretty big favorites over Cleveland. The difficulty for Houston is tonight to beat the greatest team ever assembled in the Warriors, at least from a talent perspective, 4 times out of 7. So I think if there's any possible way that they can get Chris Paul out there, I think they would err on the side of doing it, because even if it costs you a little bit in the NBA Finals, the Rockets just have so much of a bigger margin of error against the Cavaliers relative to the margin of error they have against the Warriors.
No, you're absolutely right, and that'll be the one of the more anticipated injury reports in Rockets history here, I think, or at least in recent history. But people were upset about how the Rockets played, and I'm of the mindset that after playing with two superstars and the way D'Antoni staggers their minutes, I think that their game plan is going to be a lot different in Game 7 if he doesn't play than it was in Game 6 when they had to adjust a little bit on the fly to his absence, just because you're used to having James Harden go out and you're used to having Chris Paul come in and command the guys that he was with and kind of play that ISO style that James Harden plays. You just are playing it with Chris Paul and you're playing that isolation off two superstars and kind of have a playbook built around that. I think that they play a lot better in Game 7 if he's there or if he's not, just because they're able to adjust that playbook a little better with him being out. That said, it's really hard to talk myself away from the 9-point fourth quarter and defend that for the Rockets.
Well, I think in this series, the thing you have to keep in mind is that when one team goes down 15 or 20 points, especially with the limited rotations, and then the issue now with Chris Paul's injury and everything being stretched to the Rockets, if you go down 15, 20 points, you're going to call off the dogs, because quite frankly, Game 7 becomes more important. So that's why I wasn't really that bothered by, you know, the 9 points in the fourth quarter, because once they got out of reach, you know, the Rockets, they threw in their Joe Johnson, Ryan Anderson, Aaron Jackson lineups. At that point, it's like there's no reason to run, you know, anything that's going to take more mileage or taxing effect on James Harden, Eric Gordon, whoever your mainstays are. You've just got to save up for Game 7 at that point. I do think that the big deal for Houston, and maybe you see them try and play Harden, if not 48, at least 45 minutes, something like LeBron James, which we said coming off the top, because where the Rockets really struggled in Game 6 without Chris Paul, and if he's unable to go tonight, were those bench minutes that you were citing, because Eric Gordon actually played pretty well. Eric Gordon had 19 points. He made 4 of his 6 threes. Eric Gordon, as far as a playmaker, actually replaced Chris Paul fairly well. And it's worth noting that Chris Paul, even when he's played in this series, has already been a little gimpy with a foot, Achilles issue, whatever is going on there. So it's not like he's been 100% vintage Chris Paul to begin with. So Eric Gordon, I thought he did his job. The problem was that because you're taking Eric Gordon from a bench role and then essentially using him to supplant Chris Paul in the starting lineup, then they had to give 41 combined minutes to Gerald Green and Luke Bamute. Luke Bamute, after dislocating his shoulder twice, including right before the playoffs, of course, as you remember, didn't even play at all in that Rockets-Timberwolves series in the first round because of the injury. Mm-hmm. He just has not looked the same since coming back. He's not trusting that shoulder. Gerald Green can shoot well, but he's just a liability, I would say, especially defensively and turnovers. There are just certain mental lapses there. And to play those two guys 41 minutes, and it would have been more if not for, as I mentioned, the last 6 minutes or so being just complete garbage time, then that's where the Chris Paul injury really, really got you, was having to play 41 minutes with guys who are just fringe rotation players, especially with the injured version of Bamute you have now. So that's why you hope that Chris Paul comes back, and if he doesn't, you may need a Herculean performance of James Harden the same way you got with LeBron James in Cleveland, because ultimately I don't see a route for the Rockets, even at home, to win a Game 7 if you're playing Gerald Green and Luke Bamute a combined 40-plus minutes.
Well, I mean, the thing is that you've seen that from Harden this playoffs, and it has been against lesser teams, obviously. He's done it against the Wolves. He had that game one. He had a couple like heroic performances against the Jazz. He's done it in the playoffs already. It's just, can he do it against the Warriors is the question that we're going to find out tonight. We're going to keep talking about this matchup and get to some predictions. But first, we're going to have a quick break for some sponsors. The Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors play Game 7 tonight to decide who plays the Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. Here with us, Ben DuBose, host of the Locked On Rockets podcast, has been giving us insight into this series. He's been talking about Game 6, and now we're looking to Game 7. Ben, if the Rockets, and let's just assume that Chris Paul does not play, if the Rockets are going to win this game without Chris Paul, what are three things you need to see in their box score?
Good question. I'm going to start with Clint Capela being in double figures in scoring. That's a big deal for them. At times, the offense has been harder for Clint to come by this series because, as you all know from the Minnesota series, it's not like Clint Capela goes down on the low block like a Karl-Anthony Towns and just goes to work. he gets his points in the pick and roll game, essentially off the attention drawn by guys like James Harden and Chris Paul. And that's not meant to slight Clint at all, because he is great at moving without the basketball, and it's not like you can just throw any big in there and expect those same results. But at the same time, in this series, it's tougher because the Warriors switch on everything for Clint to get going. And these last two games, now Capella's had 14 and 15 rebounds in both of them, but in Game 5, he had 12 points. In Game 6, he had 2. I think ultimately, you've got to have him more active, scoring around the rim, because the Rockets, if Chris Paul is either not playing or limited, they don't have the firepower that Golden State has. They're going to have to win by mucking it up, slowing the pace, making it ugly, and that's where you need to get cheap buckets around the rim. You may also need to see him make free throws. He's just 42% in the last five games of this series, and if it's close, it wouldn't shock me at all if you see Steve Kerr in the second half trying to hack him a possession or two, trying to see what might happen if they go that route. But just in general, the Rockets don't have enough firepower with Chris Paul either out or limited to compete with the Warriors playing their game. They've got to muck it up, and I think Clint Capella being a guy who scores in double figures rather than a guy who scores 2 points like he did in Game 6 is a big part of that. Another one, the Rockets need to shoot. I say they need to make – they need to take at least 43s and ideally make at least 35%. For the Rockets in this game, it's less about – now, of course, they need to make enough threes to keep the defense honest. And if you have a game which you shoot above 50% from three where you just get crazy lucky, then that's great. But I think for the Rockets, you need to control what you can control, which is to get the volume of three-point attempts. Mm-hmm. That's something the Rockets have struggled with at times. These playoffs, we mentioned the switching defense, plays a role in Capella. It also takes away some of the three-point looks as well. So I just think, in general, if the Rockets can get 43s, if they can get enough attempts, then that gives them the shot that this is a night like Game 2 in the series when the Rockets won in blowout fashion, led by as much as 29, and that was because P.J. Tucker was 8 of 9, Trevor Ariza 7 of 9, Gordon 6 of 9 from 3. I think if the Rockets are getting looks from 3, then that tells you that their offense is getting the shots that they want. And I think that's a big deal. They were hot from behind the arc, especially early in Game 6. And if they can just get the quality of looks in Game 7, that's ultimately going to be a big deal. And then the final one, quite simple. James Harden has to have an MVP game. Mm-hmm. If Chris Paul either doesn't play or is limited, look, the Warriors have 4 All-Stars, and yes, they're on the road, but they've been on the road before. It's a team that's won the Western Conference 3 straight years. One of those, they did win in a Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Granted, that one was at home, but they did win a Game 6 at Oklahoma City, in which they were against elimination. The Warriors are going to be poised, and with Chris Paul either not playing or limited, they're going to have more overall firepower. So the way to transcend it, of course, the Rockets, they need to play good defense. They need, which they've done for a lot of this series, they need the role players to step up. Eric Gordon and Clint Capella have been role players for them throughout the year. But ultimately, games like this, it's often a game of stars. And if James Harden's able to get you 30-plus points on close to 50% shooting, then that might be the type of thing that gives you a chance. But ultimately, I don't think you're winning this game with or without Chris Paul unless you have James Harden in the form that's been the MVP all season long.
You know that James Harden has to have a big night. As far as the Warriors are concerned, before we head out here, as far as the Warriors are concerned, which All-Star on the Warriors would scare you most if he starts having a big night?
To me, it's always been Klay Thompson, and he was the guy in Game 6 who was who was ridiculous because – what did he have in Game 6? I'm looking it up.
35, and he shot 64%.
Yeah, 9 of 14 from 3. The reason that Klay worries me so much in this matchup is that Klay's production often is a result of your overall awareness defensively. Because it's not like Klay, you know, there are a few exceptions, but he's not like Steph Curry or Kevin Durant in that he's regularly creating his own offense.
Yeah.
He is generally getting his looks either in transition, where he's lethal as a stop-and-pop guy, or because you're losing him away from the ball you're not communicating well defensively. By the way, one real case for optimism for the Rockets, they've been a lot better defensively at home in this series, and a big reason for that is because they're able to communicate a lot better when they're not at Oracle Arena. Hopefully that's better tonight. But in general, if Klay Thompson starts going off, yes, it's possible, like Game 6 at Oklahoma City, that he has a night where even if he's guarded, then he still makes them. And if that happens, it sucks. That's just bad luck. But in general, I think Klay Thompson's performance is a referendum on the pace of the game and your defensive communication. If the Rockets are able to slow the pace, limit the transition opportunities, and they're communicating well defensively, then Klay Thompson is just probably not going to get that many good looks. Flip side, if he scores 35 points the way he did in Game 6, then it's probably a sign that your defense is not communicating well, that the Warriors getting out in transition too much, and if that's the case, the Rockets just don't have enough firepower offensively to keep up.
I like it. I think that you should be prepared now if you are watching the game tonight. You should be prepared for the game. Plenty of great stats there from Ben. And make sure to go check out his show, Locked On Rockets. He'll have plenty of content to get you prepared there as well. And make sure to watch the game. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you, Ben, so much for joining the show. And thank you to the Locked On Timberwolves podcast listeners for tuning in to another show over Memorial Weekend. Have a great weekend, folks, and thank you again.